back in 1969 when Neil Diamond came out with Holly Holly. He said that was the favorite song of all the songs he had written, that is, at the time. Spiritually tinged, still sounds pretty good. We've been covering the big stories, the big coast-to-coast type stories of 2014 with my guests, the current guest, Alejandro Rojas, looking at UFO cases, big UFO cases of this year. And in a moment, we're opening up the phone lines, of course. I have a couple other questions, so those of you who are calling in, be ready to hang on for 15 minutes or so when they open these up, because I want to ask a couple of questions about personalities of the year. I mean, some well-known people made pretty positive statements about the UFO or ET mysteries of this year. And then, of course, there were a couple of people who brought discredit to the topic, and I want to ask Alejandro his take on that. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Alejandro, let's talk for a moment about disclosure. I think you and I and anyone who's hooked on the UFO topic would love to see that day happen when the president makes some sort of an announcement, or the Pope or somebody, and sure enough, folks, those things you've been suspicious of are alien craft from somewhere else. We've been hiding the truth, and here's the evidence, and they lay it all out on the line. I long ago, if I was ever holding my breath waiting for that to happen, I long ago stopped. What about you?
Yeah, it's a good thing you stopped that, because there are researchers who unfortunately have passed away but spent a lifetime looking into this topic and feeling that moment's right around the corner, and unfortunately passed away without that happening. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, something that Nick Pope, who investigated UFOs for the UK government, told me, said, is he feels that this is an event-led sort of situation, and I agree. I think Lee Spiegel talks about this as well, where it's not really up to us or our government. It's up to whoever is in charge of this phenomena, which is, if this is phenomena is extraterrestrial in nature, then it's up to an extraterrestrial presence to, disclose that. And it seems like if that is the case, they're not ready for it yet.
Yeah, the true architect of the secrecy, as Whitley Strieber says, are the visitors, whoever they are, wherever they're from.
Yeah, and then, at any moment they could make themselves apparent to the public if they wanted to.
I suspect that, our government knows a lot more than we do, but they may not know the real bottom line. They may not know who they are, why they're here, what their true intentions are, and that might be, or they may suspect that the true intentions are something less than friendly.
That's what's difficult to know, and if we do have an organization, which most likely I think we would have somebody looking into it. It's a highly compartmentalized type of thing, and who knows what information they have. They definitely have more resources. It'd be nice. I think we in the civilian, world would know more if we had more resources. But how much more information those resources would get you, I don't know.
I was speaking in the first hour with Lee Spiegel, and we were trying to come up with the name of a guy who used to work for Bill Clinton. His name is John Podesta, who's a chief of staff, who's come out and made some amazing statements about UFOs. His boss, President Clinton, this year came on Jimmy Kimmel and said, yeah, I asked my staff to investigate it and look into it in Area 51 and see if we had aliens, and he kind of joked about it. He's made those statements before, but he really made news this year. Then you've got Paul Hellyer, the former defense secretary for Canada, who's made statements. Some pretty big people have come forward and announced their interest in it and that they take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest is Clinton and the Vatican. We know, as researchers, that Clinton's talked about this several times before, and he always leaves the question open. In fact, one of my favorite incidents of this is when he was in China for a big business conference, and he was asked about UFOs, and he said, yeah, I investigated UFOs. Or I think this was Hong Kong, actually. And he said, one of the things he said is, but I was told there was nothing there. But he put this caveat, but I wouldn't be the first president that career bureaucrats have lied to. So he left it open. And even on Jimmy Kimmel, which has a much wider U.S. audience, he left it open when Kimmel kind of joked and said, are you telling me there's aliens? He said, no, I'm trying to tell you I don't know. But if we were visited someday, I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope it's not like Independence Day. So he still made a joke of it, but he left it open that, he seems to, like Podesta, his apparent friend who's now working for Obama, He seems to really believe that there is extraterrestrial intelligence out there. Does he believe that because he has more information? We don't know. In fact, Ben Hansen, who I mentioned before, who was also the host for Sci-Fi's Factor Fake, did a voice analysis. Ben used to work for the FBI, and he says he's not an expert in these sort of things, but he certainly had some training, and he's done a lot of research. And he did a voice analysis, and his analysis, he says that him and he's passed this along with colleagues who are experts, that Clinton did show stress, signs of stress when he was having that conversation. Where that stress arises from is difficult to say. Was he walking a line on what he should say and shouldn't say? Who knows?
Let's touch on. I mentioned the name of Paul Hellyer, the Canadian Defense Minister
Yeah.
guy. He's made some pretty strong statements, far beyond what President Clinton has said. How much credence do you to pay to what Hellyer has said about the reality of UFOs?
Well, luckily I got to meet Hellyer several years ago and have dinners with him right when he was getting into kind of being out about this topic. And then we did have him at the UFO Congress a few late years later. And so I know his sources. His sources are other UFO researchers. So really his information is as good as that. When it comes to this year, there was a huge story of this video kind of posted posthumously of a Lockheed engineer who made a lot of statements about Area 51 and Roswell and things like this. Most of his statements were also just here, things he had heard from people who investigate in this field. So it's only as good as those sources, unfortunately. One thing Paul Hellyer says is that firsthand is that he did receive the book The Day After Roswell from Philip Corso and Bill Burns, and he took that to a U.S. general who was and said, what do you think of this? What's in this book? And according to him, the general said some of that is real. So that's what really piqued his interest in this topic. In fact, I asked him directly, what about, did files ever come across your desk when you were a defense minister? And he said they did occasionally, but he just tossed them to the side because he was too busy with other things. Now he wishes he wouldn't have done that. But that's his firsthand experience. And so I put some credence into that because that is a firsthand experience. But all of the other stuff he talks about really seems to be speculation and from and things that are a little more difficult to prove.
Do
But he's an educated opinion.
you have a sort of a best of and worst of 2014 mental list, people who made a major contribution, wrote a great book, or did some excellent research? We'll start with the good to begin with. Anything come to
Okay.
mind?
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the good because there's a couple of things I'd like to mention. First of all, one of the things, at least in the UFO field, that has made kind of a big deal, a big noise, has been this Rendlesham Forest book that was written by Nick Pope and two of the main witnesses, Jim Peniston and John Burroughs. The book kind of reviews the case from their perspectives, and I think it covers the case, which is really interesting. It's often called the UK's Roswell, and this is where it crashed. Something was seen on 2 days. The base, deputy base commander saw it with many other witnesses on the second day when they went out and looked at this. So tons of credible witnesses. This is what is barely touched upon in the book, but we're going to have John Burroughs and his lawyer at the UFO Congress because this is a big deal. John Burroughs says his medical records from that period of time were missing, and he's suffering from heart issues that experts have told him could be the result of radiation. And the UK government has admitted they did find radiation in their investigation of the Rendlesham incident. So he has gotten a lawyer to fight the VAA to get his records. They even went to John McCain, his office. John McCain's office was able to get the military to fix the records to show that John Burroughs was in the military at that time. But according to John and his lawyer, they were told that we'll never be able to get your medical records. For some reason, that Pat and John believe that his records have been classified, which isn't uncommon for people working in classified areas, but John was just a security guard, and that's not really, that doesn't make sense to them why they would be classified. this is a really interesting continuing story. And this, what John Burroughs has done is his own investigation, and he's even gotten the UK to admit that even though all they've supposedly released all of their UFO files as of last year, that they have more files. And they've told John, oops, sorry, it looks like we did find some more files. We've got to go through a process of analyzing them, and then we're going to post them. But this process is going to take nearly a year, and those files won't be out until September.
Well, that's an interesting wedge to use to force them to release some information. That's all the more power to them. He will be at the UFO Congress. Anything else you want to mention to our listeners who might be considering going?
Considering going to the Congress, I want to mention one more best of first.
Oh, okay, sure.
Good.
Sure.
And unfortunately, we won't have this represented at the conference. I hope John Greenwald comes, but John Greenwald of the Black Vault. This is really cool. He was able to do some FOIA requests to get, and there was a lawsuit against the NSA because the NSA said they couldn't release their UFO files. When they did release them, they were heavily redacted where you couldn't really read much of anything. John Greenwald requested that those files be unredacted, more information that can come forward be released. This is similar to how we got the CIA to admit Area 51 exists. They unredacted a document and unredacted the word Area 51. Well, the NSA responded to John Greenwald and said, oops, we've lost all of those files. These files were the central figure of a large lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that went on for a period of time. They were in the media, and they lost them? This is really weird. This, I think, is a really big story, and certainly want to give John Greenwald big kudos for his work on that.
Yeah, that's excellent.
For the UFO Congress?
Yes.
Well, the big thing, of course, is some guy named George Knapp is coming, and he's bringing along a friend of his named Bob Lazar. And this is exciting because Bob Lazar has never spoken to a large audience before live. I know he spoke for a small audience a long time ago out in the desert. But that's what's really exciting about this, and we're excited because, you know, I heard you talk about this in MUFON, and, you know, it's always so hard to weigh the Lazar case and what's going on there. But you did such a compelling talk, and then you interviewed Lazar, and it really seemed like, and I think you agreed, that he at least wanted to get his side of things out there. He doesn't really like to be involved with the whole UFO crowd or talk about his what he has to say much. But when he talked, it's very similar to what he said all along, and it's just compelling to hear him speak. So with your help, we were able to talk him into coming to the UFO Congress and doing that Q&A after you do a talk. And so that's extremely exciting. So I am so interested in that, and so are others. And this is interesting, too, you might not know about. A lot of people have told me, oh, Stan Friedman, he has some problems with that Lazar case, and he would never go to the conference. Well, I ran into Stan Friedman because I see him often, and he's like, you know what, I would love to be there. And so he's going to have a vendor table just so he can be there. And interesting enough, and you probably know this, there are aspects of the case that Stan Friedman does think are really interesting, even though he has problems with other aspects. So just like with everything, it's much more complicated than just is it real or not.
So, yeah, he and I have talked about it many times over the years. It's a good lineup, though, UFO Congress. I didn't mean to just to plug the Lazar part of it. You have a good lineup, and it's the world's largest. People should check out.
Yeah, we're recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's largest.
Well, we have links on the website, both to your cases and information about the Congress, and I hope people will check that out. Let's take a quick call before we go into this break and get at least one in before we have to break again. East of the Rockies, Bob in Hartford, Connecticut. Good morning, Bob. You're on with Alejandro.
Oh, good morning, George, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You're just the most powerful host, and I made a note. Just noticed at the time that you made mention of it, it was 2:44. you mentioned lying awake at night, speaking of media control, and the force of money in politics, and the fact that our votes do not count, which they really don't, and it's kind of all related to everything you've been speaking about tonight. You were speaking with Mark from both Top Secret at that time, and just in connection with that, George, we have, and I'm sure you've mentioned it on your show, that the belief that there has been contact, that President Eisenhower at one time had contact with aliens, and also that Jackie Gleason had brought President Nixon down to Homestead Air Force Base in Florida and had seen alien bodies there as well. And unbelievable evidence that's been presented by Robert Hastings at the National Press Club in 2010 with Robert Salas, the ICBM missile commander, his testimony, and what has happened in Ukraine. Here in the United States, the missiles were shut down, and in the Ukraine, at about the same time, the missiles were activated. Missile silo commanders reporting this, Robert Salas here and others, and then the same thing in the Ukraine at that time. And there can't be any more credible witnesses than these men with their ability to launch ICBMs. And just in connection with this, George, quickly, it seems to me, the principle of prime directive came through in Star Trek, I believe it was, to where the aliens in advanced civilization will not interfere with a lower, not quite as developed civilization. And it just seems to me, George, that you're laying awake, as you described that you do at night. How is this, how are things ever going to change? It doesn't seem possible to be, other than that the aliens would violate the prime directive and make known their presence.
Well, let's hear what Alejandro has to say about that. I mean, Alejandro, let's suppose that our government really did have that information, that contact with Eisenhower was real, and that that they've studied the UFO nuke incidents and figured out that this is from somewhere else. I don't think they'd tell us. Do you?
You know what? It's so difficult to say. I mean, I don't think they would want to share it with politicians. When it comes to politics, I think that they're completely driven, or politicians are completely driven by the politics, which change on a daily basis. So they're really an unknown quantity. You never know what they're going to do. So it would have to be really, really well hidden. And you would have to know the agenda of those people. And why would they want to share that information, especially if they're not kind of public-facing people or interested in the public's opinion or interest in this? It'd probably be easier for them to kind of maneuver without that. So there's a one side, yeah, will humans say anything? It's really hard to say, and it seems like probably not. As far as, is there a prime directive? I don't know. And even when there was a prime directive, which is a possibility, there were protocols to bringing a civilization, once it gets to the right point, into kind of the Federation. Are we getting close to that chance, that area? Are we going to kill ourselves off before we even make it to meet that sort of criteria, if there is such a thing? There are so many unknowns. And I think if you're investigating this kind of stuff, you've got to kind of be comfortable with living with not knowing a lot and with unknowns.
Well, it's fun to talk about. We'll continue our conversation with Alejandro Rojas after the break. The Beatles, Revolution 1. This is the slow version. This is actually the original version of this tune. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM. This band, really interesting sound. They're called Houndmouth out of Albany, Indiana. If you haven't heard of them before, unique sound. And the name of the song is Casino. And in parentheses, bad things. I figured with about 350,000 of you coming to Las Vegas this week to see casinos and do bad things or naughty things, well, that sound song kind of fits. We're wrapping up 2014, all the amazing cases and stories of 2014 we've covered on Coast to Coast. I have to say thanks to all the guests, the amazing guests we've had, a heck of a lineup just on my weekend shows. Bob Lazar and Gene Huff, Dave Politis, Tom DeLonge, Jacques Vallée, Richard Dolan, Joe McMonagle, Jeff Kripal, Jim Mars, and so many more. It's been an amazing lineup. We couldn't do it without guests like that. We couldn't do it without listeners like you who tune in each night to hear what we've got cooking. We have had three more great guests tonight. Our final segment with Alejandro Rojas coming up, and we'll go to the phone lines with as many of your questions as we can get to. Stay with us. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Alejandro Rojas, we'll go back to the phones in a second. One other question, and I'll give you an out. If you don't want to answer this, fine. But do you also have a hall of shame from 2014, people who made statements or did things or made a fuss about UFOs that deserve, they don't deserve praise, they deserve something else?
You know, that's hard to say, especially when a lot of times their heart's in the right place. It just kind of goes awry. I kind of shy away and get a little, I cringe a bit when Paul Hellyer goes out these days and talking about some of the research that he doesn't know personally about, but he hears about. I think it's important to vet that information, and it was really kind of embarrassing. I've been following this guy, Boyd Bushman, for a long time, this Lockheed engineer. He was on a special with Nick Cook many years ago, a UK journalist, and talking about anti-gravity. He said, you know, nobody's really working on it, but he has an interest in it. And that kind of ballooned into this thing about him knowing the guy who shot down the UFO in Roswell. And then now, you know, when we find the sources of this information where he was sent information about Area 51 and Roswell and everything, and he just kind of believed it in his later years and did a video to talk about it, which went viral. And embarrassingly, you know, these pictures that he thought were of aliens were actually these dolls that people bought from Kmart. So that was a bit embarrassing. So those are the big ones that come to mind that kind of make me cringe.
Yeah, you have to be careful. It's a closed loop of information that feeds on itself and is recirculated around, and you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the phone lines. Kevin is trucking in Arizona on the wild card line. Hi, Kevin. You're on with Alejandro Rojas.
Good morning, gentlemen, George and Alejandro. Some years back, about 2-3 years back, I live in Los Angeles. Me and my wife just put our children to bed and walked in the backyard, just, you know, pondering how we were just dating a few years ago, and now we've got three kids and just husband and wife talking. And at the corner of our eyes, both of us, we spotted I'm not over exaggerating. This thing was at least a mile long, a triangle, black, gunmetal black, had blue round lights, blue lights on each corner of the triangle. The sides were at least 30 to 40 stories high, had white lights on the sides of it, just like how we drive through any city. You know, we see our skyscrapers at night. Some of the offices have the lights on and lights off. That's the exact same thing I saw on the sides of this thing. This thing was humongous. It didn't make a sound. Me and my wife just kept looking at each other like, what did we just see? Now, for someone like me, a little old guy, truck driver, for me to see this with my own eyes, it makes me wonder what our government knows and what they're not seeing and what they're keeping from us. How can I say this that'll make better sense? What this does is basically what they're withholding from mankind, humanity. They're keeping us back from this. I mean, the technology that's out there, what they're holding back, I'm sure they have recovered ships or saucers or whatever you want to call it. They're just holding us back. This is not right.
Kevin, I'm with you on that. It's proving it is the hard part. Alejandro, the story that Kevin tells is not unique. I mean, it seems preposterous that there can be a craft that's a mile in length, but you do get reports like that.
Yeah, especially a triangular craft like he's explained. You know, I live in Phoenix now. I've been here for about 5 years. There's the famous Phoenix Lights that happened here in the late 70s. And now living out here, I've talked to hundreds of people myself. It seems like, you know, every 1 in 10 person who's from Phoenix who was here in the area saw that thing, and it's very similar descriptions as to what we just heard. So, yeah, a lot of people see this sort of thing. But what's really funny is with me is I don't think of when I see something like this, why isn't the government telling me about this? Because I guess I kind of assume that they're not maybe the best people to tell us about this. They might not have much knowledge. I mean, John Alexander, who examined this from inside the military, talks about, you know, all the bungling of this sort of information. I think of who's flying that thing and why aren't they sharing more information with us? And it is kind of a double edge, and that's what I always think of, is whoever is crashing or whoever these, you know, manning these craft, why are they hiding themselves from us? And I think, you know, that's just as frustrating as the humans who are holding back information.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for sharing that story with us. I'd recommend that you contact Alejandro, send him a note, give him some details, dates, and things of that sort about that incident. It all helps. It all helps build the case. Thank you for calling. We're going to go to our first-time caller, a guy named Joey here in Las Vegas. Got to take care of the local folks. Joey, how you doing?
Oh, good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a theory about these the UFOs. I think they're here not because of us. They're here for the planet. The planet is a living planet that can sustain life. So that's why they're here. I mean, the government's never going to tell us. Never at all. Because there's a hidden agenda that they have that who knows what it is. But it's about the planet itself.
Thank you, Joey. I'll see what Alejandro has to say about that. You know, there's a lot of possible motives that are ascribed to these visitors, if they're visitors. Maybe they live here. What do you think?
Yeah. You know what? You never know, and you've got a good point. I mean, it could be a David Earth stood still type of situation. I think, unfortunately, when we look at global warming or we look at other ecological issues that humans have caused, it's not positive, and we're not headed in any direction to resolve any of these issues, mainly because of greed and politics. And so we are kind of a bane on this beautiful planet, this unique, special planet. And I could see an extraterrestrial civilization out there thinking, well, we got to scrape off the barnacles here and, you know, clean this thing up. So it's entirely a possibility. That's what's scary about right now. If there is this galactic federation, it doesn't seem like we're headed in the right direction to, you know, participate in anything like that.
The Keanu Reeves version, the update of that movie was on one of the pay channels last night, and I caught part of it where he makes the argument that what's wrong with Earth is the humans. That Earth would be fine if we weren't here. Again, it's hard to argue against it. I hate to be on that side of the argument, though. West of the Rockies, I'm sorry, west of the Rockies, Star in Napa, California. Hi, Star. You're on with Alejandro Rojas.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. My story is interesting, and I'm actually kind of scared to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
You're among friends.
This is a secret that's finally getting out for me, so it's going to help me a lot.
Okay.
My question is to Alejandro. When I was about 7 years old, I was home alone, and I took my little puppy out to the driveway in front of the garage. And I was just sitting up, looking up at the sky, and I was just wondering, this thing was hovering over my neighbor's house, and it was not a big saucer, it was a little saucer. And it came, like, really fast over the house and came right where I was, looked at me straight in the eyes. And it just, like, made a whisking sound, and then it just shot back over the house. And from when I was a little girl, I used to live about 10 to 15 minutes away to Travis Air Force Base. So that, why did that happen to me, and what was I seeing was really real? Because after that happened, as a little girl, I ran right into the house, shut the garage, hit the button, and ran into the closet and hid. That's how scared I was.
Star, let me ask you, had it ever happened again in your life
that
you can remember?
That's what I can ask you, because I didn't know if it was going to happen to me again in my lifetime. And I don't know, will that reoccur again, you know?
Alejandro, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what you saw is certainly a unique experience in that, I mean, there's people who've reported UFOs in close contact, like you're reporting, and whether that'll happen or not, again or not, who knows? Whether it has to do with the Air Force Base, who knows? But your reaction to it, I think, especially as a child, and seems to be real, so it's probably, I mean, then the effect it's had on you, it seems to be a real experience. So I don't think you should doubt yourself if it's something that you vividly remember, and others have experienced, you know, sightings. So I don't think you need to fear it, because I don't know that it will happen again. There are, of course, people who believe they've been abducted, and, you know, there's a lot of credibility behind many of these people who feel that way, but their experiences are a little bit different and more traumatic. But, you know, it's always helpful to talk to people who have had similar experiences. I always recommend people to go to the MUFON meetings, Mutual UFO Network. They have, you know, chapters in every state. You're going to hear people with their own extraordinary sightings. And that's just kind of therapeutic to talk to other people with similarities. And then same with the last caller, to report those to the Mutual UFO Network and to send them to us, too, so we can see if there's other people who have had the same experience.
Star, did you tell anybody else in your family?
No, because they might think I'm a lunatic.
You know what's funny? There's a lot of people who feel that way. And then years later, they'll finally share that information. I had a friend who had a sighting when he was really young, in his 20s, and he was really close to his family. He didn't share that until he was in his 70s with his brothers. And it turned out that they were very receptive. And a couple other of his brothers said, hey, I've had my own sighting, and shared their own information. And they could have been talking about this for decades together. But they were too shy to share that information.
That's why I'm glad you have this show on 1530 AM, that I can share it to the world.
Well, thank you for calling. Thanks for sharing it with us. I think you should share it with your family members at some point. I mean, you know, take it slowly. But you might be surprised by the reaction. You're not crazy.
Hey, thank you.
A lot of people have had the same experience. Thank you for sharing with us. We're going to go to our wild card line, August in Alaska. Hi, August. You're on with Alejandro.
Hi. How's it going?
All right.
What I'd like to talk about is an experience with a reptilian alien female I had while gold mining in Nome, Alaska in 2011. I have never talked about this to anybody. I didn't know who she was. I've had numerous experiences. I started going up there in 2006, mining for gold, camping by myself. I've been abducted by grays. I've been abducted by mantises and some other species. I don't even know what they were. I've had medical examinations done to me. I almost escaped from a craft one time during an abduction experience. What I'd like to talk about is this female reptilian. She came in my camp when I was sleeping. She was black, the color of night. She had the body of a snake, an upper torso of a woman, a reptilian woman, the face of a cobra, big sharp teeth, hood extended like a cobra's. When she came into my camp, I rose up from my bed, half rose up. I'm not sure if it was my body or if it was my soul coming out of my body, but she beckoned me, and I rose up to her, and I was setting up, and she came really close to me. And when she came close to me, I put my head back and exposed my neck to her, and she put her face, her teeth, right up close to my neck. And I believe she was drawing my soul, I believe, out of my heart or my chest. Energy, and she was like inhaling it. She started laughing, and at the same time I started laughing too, and we're both there, like face to face almost, laughing. And I knew her from somewhere. I knew her from before, some past life or something. And I can't explain the deep sense of love and reunion I felt. And it was just like I had remet somebody that I had loved so deeply before, but I couldn't remember, and I couldn't place from where or nothing. and she was laughing, and I was laughing, and she finally released me, and when she released me, I was damn near dead. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't even catch a breath. I thought I was going to die. I finally started breathing again. I think my heart might have stopped for a little bit, and I couldn't figure out who she was.
Hey, August, we're gonna have to let Alejandro respond because we're running out of time. This story is amazing, Alejandro. It's like a psychic vampire kind of story. Have you heard these kind of details before?
It is pretty fascinating, and I've heard kind of bits and pieces of things like this, but all together is really interesting. So, I mean, what I would recommend, we'd love to hear more, so you can email me at alejandro@openminds.tv or go to our website and visit the contact page. There's also two great organizations that have, members throughout the country that help people who have had abductions and experiences. One is called CERO, C-E-R-O, mostly on the West Coast, and another one is OPUS, O-P-U-S. And MUFON does have abduction experts as well. So those are some places that I definitely recommend people with these experiences go to, because then you're going to have, again, people who have had similar experiences you can talk to. But definitely, talk with people who have had similar situations.
August, I didn't mean to cut you off, but just it's a fascinating story with a lot of detail. I hope you've written it down. I mean, I hope you keep kind of a journal of these encounters and write down the details. Have you?
Name
I think
is
he's
Tiamat.
Okay.
Name is Tiamat, Queen Tiamat. It took me over a year to figure it out, and I figured it out through songs on the radio that are coded songs the Illuminati are putting out. And she.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And that was an interesting end to that conversation. I hope that August will write down his account, so maybe. Somebody else can take a look at the details and evaluate it. That's pretty interesting. Alejandro, are you optimistic? Are you optimistic heading into 2015?
I definitely am. You know, these small steps, Clinton going on Kimmel, even the astrobiology things, the Vatican talking more about this stuff and saying that we would baptize aliens. These are all small steps, I think, in the right direction. So, they may be baby steps, but at least they're forward-moving steps. So I do have some optimism. Whether or not something will happen in my lifetime, I don't know. But hopefully in my nieces or so forth, when we do become more of a space-faring, civilization, that there is some hope that we'll have some more answers.
All right, Alejandro Rojas of Open Minds. I'll see you in February. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on again.
I want to say thank you also to our earlier guests, Lee Spiegel of the Huffington Post and Mark Allen from AboveTopSecret.com. We have links to all these guests if you want to check out their work and their organizations. I want to say thanks also to my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Nathan Staten, who's always great input into the quality of the program, Dan Galante, our call screener tonight, Dave Hines, webmaster Tim Benall, our producer Chris Boros. I'll be back next month, everyone. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you then. Good night.